Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Josh, here with my best bud, John. How you doing, man?
Just have one thing to say before I answer that.
We are the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast ever!
That is right. See, finally got him on board. Not worrying about the lawyers anymore.
I'm doing great. I mean, today was a great day. I had a lot of fun today, and I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, just put them down, Ricky Bobby.
It's a little man tubing. We went out to Peak and Peak, and we were doing some tubing, and we were having some fun doing that, and lunch was really good.
You guys aren't watching the video. You are missing some comedy gold here, guys.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, every once in a while, and that's why I just fuck with you, because I know that there are probably a lot of them who listen more podcasts than video. So yeah. You start laughing, and they're like, what the fuck is going on over there?
Yeah, crazy stuff. Yeah, it does sound like you guys had a pretty good time. I took my little one to a birthday party today, so there was a magician.
Pull a bunny out of his asshole?
He did not, but he did make some balloon animals, which was pretty dope. He was actually damn good magician. I was impressed.
What was the best magic trick he did?
He did this thing with he had this little box. And it had it opened up with these two little doors, and it had a block in it. And he kept so he had put it in the hat, and then he had put it back inside the box. And he would tip it, and it would slide to one side. He'd open it. Oh, it's gone. He'd tip it, right? And then so he moved it around a few times. So you knew it was in the box, but then suddenly it wasn't in the fucking box anymore. And I was watching him intently, and I don't know how he got it into the hat. I don't know. I have no idea how he did that. And they're in a small room. So, and he's surrounded by little kids, and none of them caught it. I don't know how he did it, man, but it was top notch. He was a damn good child. Children's magician.
You say you're a fan of magic?
I think so.
Can I let you in on a secret?
Sure.
The rabbit was in the hat the whole fucking time.
Yep. Just don't leave it in there, man, because that would be bad. That would be bad. But yeah, so that was our day today, folks. I hope that you guys out there listening to us all had great days as well. But we are going to get into season 3, episode 13, 10 sessions. That is right. It's a good one because it sets up some good stuff for the future. Some bad stuff as well.
The good, you take the bad, you take them both, and you got Ted Mosby's 9-year stretch of telling a story to his kids.
It's true.
About how their mother died and he wanted to bang Aunt Robin one more time.
Hey, man, that must have been pretty good. I'm just saying.
I mean, if he kept blowing off girls
for years,
if he kept blowing off girls like Virginia and
Virginia, that's his mom,
or not Virginia,
Victoria,
Victoria, and Zoe, and Crazy Bitch, and all those other girls just to fuck Robin one more time.
I mean, hey, must have been good. Just saying. All right, so like I said, season 3, I don't know, season 3, episode 13, 10 sessions, originally aired on March 24th of 2008, directed by Pamela Fryman, still rolling through, written by Carter Bays, Craig Thomas, and Chris Harris. They added a third writer in there for this one.
Ooh.
Summary for this one: Ted Mosby plots to get Stella Zinman, a dermatologist at a tattoo removal clinic, to say yes when he asks her out at the end of their 10 sessions.
Stella!
Okay, so before we dive into it, this entire episode takes place essentially during the writer's strike because it started in Platinum Rule because that's when he has the date.
Yeah.
And it's 10 weeks. The episode is 10 weeks long, which means he was in the midst of these sessions when he went out to the St. Patrick's Day party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Ted's a scum.
Yeah, because he's trying to get with this with Stella, but then he goes out and macks it with this Mary. He goes out and does this. Yeah, it does kind of make you think a bit about. Granted, he was just doing things for himself during that time.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I have a lot of redeeming qualities on Ted at the end of this episode. We'll get to that when we get there, but.
Yeah,
I do have some things I want to talk about when we get to a couple spots.
I thought it was interesting because, like, when I watched it the first time through, the timeline bothered me, right? Because I wasn't thinking about the fact that it starts at the Platinum Rule. I'm just like, how is this 10 weeks long when the next episode is the bracket and it's supposed to be set in March because of March Madness? That's the whole point of them doing the bracket. I'm like, so it doesn't make sense that it would be 10 weeks long. And then I'm like, when I watched the second time through, it clicked in my head. I was like, oh yeah, Platinum Rule. She mentions the St. Patrick's Day at one point, which we'll talk a little bit about. It takes place over that time frame that we didn't have any episodes because they were on the strike. So I thought that was an interesting way for them to kind of be like, yeah, this is what they were doing. This is what Ted at least was doing for that entire time. So it actually worked because again they set up Stella in the butterfly tattoo being removed in that Platinum Rule episode. So it kind of worked that they had to go on break because it allowed Ted to have 10 weeks of sessions without having to push it into future episodes or muddy up the time frame at all. So it actually worked out for him. All right. So the episode starts out with future Ted telling his kids that sometimes you see somebody and you instantly know that they are the one for you. And as he's saying this, we see Britney Spears at a reception's desk, checking out Ted.
Kids, for those who don't know who Britney Spears is. She's just some mental case who shaved her head in 2007.
Was that 2007?
Pretty sure.
Because that would have been the year before this episode.
It was 2007?
If that's the case, that's wild to me.
Hold on. Keep talking while I quick Google search.
I remember when... when I first watched this episode, I was shocked. I was like, holy shit, Britney Spears. And that's like, same. It was such a strange kind of role for her. Cause it's not like she's like a main, it's not like she is actually Ted's love interest or anything. She's playing like a real goofy kind of character. And so it's like, it seemed really weird. And I was listening to the commentary on the DVD for this episode.
2006.
Like 2 years, a year and a half, probably.
November 2006. Before.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, like, call it a year prior to them filming this is when that happened. So, wow. So I was, like I said, I was listening to the commentary, and Carter talked about how Britney actually approached them saying that she wanted to be on the show. And she wanted apparently her agent had given her the script for this episode and she wanted to do that role specifically.
Aww.
Because they had said they were
really
like,
cool though.
Yeah. Cause they were like, if we were going to hire, like if we were going to go and try to get Britney Spears, it would have been for like a main love interest role. It wouldn't have been for this random, you know, goofy receptionist role. So because it's not the kind of typical role that you would think for her, but dude, she crushes it And dude,
she crushes it hard.
She's so good.
First off,
as Abby.
Anybody who was around when Britney Spears was big in like the late 90s, early 2000s, when she was really hitting her stride, anybody who tells you they didn't have a crush on Britney Spears, you point at them and you say, fucking liar. I crushed on Britney hard.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. So, like I said, she's sitting there. We don't know who she is yet, really. We just know she's sitting at like the reception's desk. We don't know her name yet or anything at this point. And then Stella walks in and Ted is instantly infatuated with her. Now, obsessed. I learned something really interesting that I think you are going to love, John.
Okay.
So obviously Stella played by Sarah Chalk. You know this.
Which we know Sarah Chalk from Scrubs.
The lab coat that she wears is her Elliot Reed's lab coat.
No.
Stella wears a pocket protector to cover Elliot's name on the coat. It's the coat from Scrubs. Yeah.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Elliot Reed, moment killer.
Because she was on the commentary with it was Carter, Josh Radner, and Sarah Chalk on the commentary, and she talked about it. Yeah. That she just took her coat from Scrubs and wore the pocket protector so to cover up the name. Yeah, I thought that was so cool.
I have to say, like, there are times where I see Sarah Chalk in rules and I go, this rule just doesn't feel like, I don't feel like I'm really watching Sarah Chalk do much with herself. Like, I feel like she's just eh. But when I see her as Elliot Reed and then I see her as Stella, I'm always kind of like, okay, I can get behind both of these roles. They just feel very Sarah Chalkish.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I love seeing her pop up in things. But yeah, sometimes it's just doesn't quite fit
at times. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and that's the thing, right? Up until everything that happens, you know, in the end with Stella, I loved her. I was rooting for her. You know,
Josh was like, man, I wanted Ted to move to Jersey so hard.
Like, she was a great character, and then it kind of falls apart, obviously, in the end. But it was like her and Victoria were two of my favorites, you know, outside of Tracy, obviously.
I will never say that I didn't have hopes for Stella, but this is where I have to say, like, I see Sarah Chalk. And I instantly think of Elliot Reed. She's JD's girl. Get your fucking heads off her.
I would have loved to have seen like Zach Braff at a cameo in a random episode with the two of them.
How funny. Because I thought about this again. This is one of those little things where, you know how when they do the Wedding Bride episodes, it's Chris Kattan? What if it would have been Zach Braff?
That would have been hilarious.
My name's Jed Mosley.
Jed, I can't wait till we talk about those, man. That's going to be good stuff.
Love me some Chris Kattan.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we head into, I don't know what you call it. I just called it the removal room. I don't know. Because what do you call that room?
The procedure room?
Sure. Yeah, that works. The procedure room. And Stella is cracking a couple jokes about Ted's tattoo, which I thought was funny. Ted, you know, he jokes back with her, makes her laugh. I love
the caterpillar line. Originally, it was supposed to be caterpillar. And then, you know, a few weeks later, boom.
Yeah, that was and that's classic, classic Ted, confident Ted. Classic confident Ted.
Yeah.
Who is just working his charm. We see that throughout the show where he's got a lot of charm, and he can play that with the ladies really well when he wants to. Sometimes it just he either goes overboard or sabotages himself. So
see, and that's the thing. Sometimes I don't think Ted knows the difference between trying too hard or trying in the right ways and accidentally sabotaging himself. Because, like, this is a clear example of Ted just being himself, and it's working. Yeah. Now, granted, Stella says no to a date, and, like, it sets up the whole precursor to this episode.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know. There's so many elements. I'll dive into it as we go further with it.
But she doesn't say no because of anything he did.
No, no. She says no because it's the law. And I respect that because she doesn't want to lose her license and shit.
Yeah.
You don't want to want to throw away all that fucking money you'd be making for a fucking boy like Ted Mosby.
It's true. It's true. And so during this scene, they're chatting about movies specifically. And Ted says that the worst movie of all time is a film called Manos, Hands of Fate, while Stella thinks it's Plan 9 from Outer Space. Now, John, I did a little research here.
Of course you did.
And I looked up some of the stats for these movies, the critic stats for these movies. Okay. We're going to start with Plan 9 from Outer Space, Stella's pick, okay?
Okay.
So, Plan 9 from Outer Space has a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, now remind me, 66% good?
60 and above is what they call fresh.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's got a 3.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay.
And a 2.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Okay.
So, it's about mid-reviews all the way around.
That's Plan 9, okay? This is what Stella considers the worst movie of all time.
Okay.
Now we're going to go to Ted's pick. Manos, Hands of Fate. A 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
0. A 1.6 out of 10 on IMDb. And a 1.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Wow.
So, I mean, I understand. I mean, I understand completely that film is subjective, 100%. But when you look at how a consensus of people view these films, I got to give it to Ted, man.
Yeah, you got. Okay, so now let me ask your opinion. In your opinion, not statistics, not factual statement, what is the worst movie ever?
Oh, man, that's tough because, one, I've never seen either of these, so it could be one of these. I don't know. Damn, I don't know, man. There's too many. I feel like I'm gonna say one, and then something's going to come to mind. And I'm going to be like, there's no way that one is the answer because of this other one. But I kind of want to watch these just to see. I found out they are both available on Tubi for free.
Oh, nice.
So you guys can go and judge for yourself. Do you agree with Ted? Do you agree with Stella? And let us know. Last call, HIMYM on Twitter.
Let us know what you think is the worst movie ever.
Do you have a pick? I mean, obviously not between these two, but
Gone in 60 seconds.
You son of a bitch. You're a cuck.
Oh, fuck. I knew that would get you too. Oh, baited you right into that one.
It's true. You did.
Now, if I was gonna pick a worst movie of all time, I would probably I don't know. I have to agree with you. You know what? I'm gonna say it because somebody needs to say it. It's a Wonderful Life.
I still have not watched it.
Neither have I. And I'm gonna stand by. It's a horrible movie.
I just have no interest in watching it. You know, I just
the
really
fact
don't.
That so many people are like swear by this movie. You know what? If I was gonna, I digress. Nope. Let's get back to the episode.
If I am gonna pick one, this one was kind of recent, but if I gave, because I don't give movies zeros, I just don't. If I was ever going to give a movie a zero, this is a movie I would have. And it was a movie called Mother Schmuckers.
Oh, I haven't even heard of that one.
It's a foreign film, but it is fucking stupid. I hated every second of it that I watched it.
Wow.
And I'm not somebody who like turns off movies. I finish these fucking things anytime, even movies I don't like. And I wanted to stop this movie so many times. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I hated this movie so much.
I was gonna say, and that's not like you. I know you. You're a finish the movie kind of person.
And I'm pretty lenient, really, I think, with a lot of usually movies. But yeah, no, I hated this movie. And I don't say that about very many. So I guess if I'm going to pick one, I'll go with that.
Fair.
All right. So she tells Ted that, you know, if he doesn't believe her about the movie, that they're showing it down at the local theater, and she invites him to go. And as we know from the Platinum Rule, Ted thought that this was a date.
Ted thought it was a date.
Yeah, he quickly learns, though, that it is not, as when he shows up to the movie and offers to pay, Stella then introduces him to all of her friends brought. Yeah, because she's there for girls' night. And now Ted is paying for everybody. What are your thoughts on this, John?
Ted Mosby is a great guy.
But, like...
I mean, she, I know what you're asking.
Like, she didn't tell before, like when they set it up, she didn't say, oh yeah, I'm bringing three of my friends with me.
No.
And so he assumed it was just two of them. Even if he thought it was just them going as friends, there's no way he was going to assume that it was going to be more than just the two of them. And so when he offers to pay, she should have been like, well, I brought friends with me. Is that okay? She does not do that. She just says, like, oh, that's great. You're paying for my three friends. Hey, guys, meet Ted. He's paying.
You know what that kind of reminds me of in a weird way?
What?
Remember the Cranky Anchor skit where the one guy calls in and he wins the tickets? It's the radio.
Yes.
You just won two tickets. Hey, I can bring one of my friends. Yay. Five tickets, how many friends could I bring? Four. I can bring two of my friends. Yay.
But
no, I understand why Ted is mad.
And the friends sit in between the two of them. Ted only knows Stella.
Yep.
Why wouldn't they have at least sat together to, like, you know, like chat or whatever so that he didn't feel weird and awkward because he doesn't know any of those people.
And so I thought about that and I'm like, he pays for all them, and then he gets, like, shafted in the seating. I'm like, I know Ted's a nice guy, but, like, this is some, like, shitty writing, because it really makes Ted look like the asshole. Because I'm going to be mad, too, if, like, all of a sudden I paid for a bunch of people, and then I don't even get to sit next to the person I thought I was on a date with.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that.
I love the scene in the theater.
Yes.
But when the one girl leans over and it's like, are you okay? He's like, I thought this was a date. And then it goes down the chain of women to Stella.
Oh,
and
then
you know, that's where we get the explanation of, you know, it's against AMA rules. And then it goes back down the chain. And
I love the old man.
Yeah. By the time it gets to Ted, he's like, yes, I already heard. And then you hear a guy. Yeah, we all heard. Ted's a schmuck. Oh my god, it was so funny. But another thing hit me as I watched it. I was like, Stella laughs at that.
Yep.
That's kind of brutal, man.
Oh, so brutal. Because but you know what else I thought about?
The next scene, she's laughing at him again.
Oh, yeah. So, but think about this, though. Between this, the shit that happens with the wedding bride and the whole he's on the date with the girl in the theater, if I was Ted Mosby, I would stop going to the theater.
Or at least stop taking women, like, stop taking dates to the theater. Just go by yourself.
Yeah. Or take Marshall.
Yeah, take Marshall, man. Like, it just does not have good luck. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it may. I'll be honest. This episode, if you're not thinking about it, if you're really paying attention, kind of makes Stella out to be kind of an asshole.
Oh, dude, she is kind of an asshole though from the beginning.
Yeah, no,
the same time though, Ted's very aggressively pursuing her as well.
That's true. Yeah, because
I mean, she straight out says, "I can't date you."
Yeah,
and Ted's like, "I'm gonna get the yes."
Yeah, yeah, and you know, after, because like I said, they go back to the, you know, they switch us back to the office, and she's still laughing at him. Then it kind of moves us to like after the appointment, and Ted once again, he's like, he tells her, he's like, you know, when these 10 sessions are done, I'm going to ask you out again. And yep. She's like, and I'm still going to say no.
Well, and I love it at this point, because this is where that goes to the bar and he's telling the group, and he's like, she's saying that in 10 weeks, she's going to say no. How can you make up your mind about something about 10 weeks from now? Yep. And I love it because he goes, like, who knows what they're going to have for lunch that day? And Marshall goes, a sloppy Joe, shrimp cocktail, and a milkshake.
Yep.
Which are three things that just do not fucking go together.
Now, did you catch what happens 10 weeks from now?
Yeah, yeah. He's eating a sloppy Joe.
They actually have it there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's got all of it.
And I love it because he offers Barney a piece of shrimp.
Yeah. Shrimp?
Shrimp?
Yeah, I love... Yeah, their continuity is so fucking good throughout. It's one of the things that I love about this show.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times I'm just like, whoever was on continuity, like detail, did a great job most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, once in a while, you know, things slip by and it happens.
Things are going to slip by. Like, obviously, you talked about in the last episode, the whole thing with the mother and stuff like that. But like, shit's going to happen once in a while. It can't be 100% all the time. And not even, no show's ever 100%.
That's true. And like, especially sitcoms, I feel like they let a lot of stuff go. You know what I mean? When it comes to that, they're like, oh, you're just meant to laugh. It doesn't matter. But they took it seriously. And that's, I really appreciated that from them. But yeah, so like you said, they're at the bar and stuff, and Barney brings up this point. He says, it only takes a woman 8.3 seconds to make up her mind, and after that, there's no changing it. Well, first off, 8.3,
he
brings that number back, which I thought was great.
Oh yeah.
And so then he asks Ted, you know, what, you know, tell us about the first 8.3 seconds.
I love this
stuff with it.
Stella walks out and she's like, lower back butterfly tattoo, and Ted stands up, and so does some like blonde stripperish looking girl.
Yeah. Now, I think it's a hilarious scene, but it makes Stella a hypocrite because she says, I can't date you because that would be breaking an AMA rule. Yet she literally just broke a HIPAA rule by doing that.
Oh, that's a true statement.
That's a HIPAA violation.
You're telling people what's being removed.
It's against privacy. Yeah. Because she's a legit doctor.
Yeah, she should. I never thought about that. She should be calling people by last name.
Mm-hmm.
She'd just be like, Mosby.
I mean, it made it for a funny scene, but yeah, she, it also kind of makes,
about that.
It also kind of adds to the Stella's kind of an asshole thing.
Malpractice.
You know? Yeah. Like legit.
Somebody's about to get paid, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Pills, baby. When Ted Mosby gets that, pills, baby.
Yeah, so wow, that was something. Yep. So yeah, that was a thing I definitely wanted to point out because
I hadn't actually thought about that though until you said that.
Yeah,
that's fucking good catch, man.
I appreciate that.
I do say though, because Barney's right though. Like, there's a lot of shit in this episode where, like, if you just pay attention to the detail, Stella's not into him right away.
No, not right away. You know, I mean. They hadn't gotten to know each other yet, you know,
nope.
And it goes over those first few sessions, which we'll get to. So back at the bar, Ted continues. He's confident that, you know, he's going to get the yes. You know, the gang, they're not so sure. We then see how the actual first session went. Because, like, before, we saw him, you know, we saw the beginning of it, like, him going in. We saw the ending when he was like, you know, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to ask you out at the end.
Yeah.
Now we get to see the in-between.
Yeah, because Barney's like, he says something about the process.
Yeah.
And like, how did, and he's like, oh, it's, she's like, she warns Ted, it's a very intense pain. Ted's like, oh, pain doesn't bother me. And she starts lasering him. He's like, ah!
Yeah, he just and I love that Abby runs in and
she's like, is everything okay? I heard a woman screaming. I
heard a woman screaming. And then she laughs when she sees Ted. Oh my God. Britney Spears' delivery in this episode, throughout this episode, she's so goddamn funny.
I would dare to say her entire time as Abby alone, she kills the role so well.
Dude, I wish she had done more comedy. Like, yeah. She's so funny in this,
like,
in this
show. She's so funny.
She's so funny.
One of my favorite ones is when her and Barney are acting like they're dating and they're rubbing him in Ted's face. Oh God, I know it's like a couple of episodes away. Yeah. And she's like, oh, hey, Ted, I miss you. And he's like, this is you in every relationship you're in. And she's like, oh, Barney, yeah, you're so funny.
Oh, man.
Ted, call me.
She's so good. And she pops up a few times, which is great because we get to see more funny Abby shit throughout the series. Then we do a quick blow through of the next four sessions. And we kind of see how they're kind of connecting with one another. They're having fun together. You know, they spend an entire session speaking French to each other,
which is weird.
Apparently, they both know French, and Sarah Chalk was really, really excited to do that scene because she apparently went to a school for like 3 years where they only were allowed to speak French.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And so she was really excited to do that.
Well, good for Sarah Chalk.
And they were just having a conversation, like her and Josh Radnor were just having a conversation with one another throughout that scene in French. Huh. I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. He makes her laugh so hard she falls out of a chair at one point.
Yeah.
And then he does some juggling. And at the end of session five, she still says, like, he asks her out again. And she still says no.
Wait, hold on. Because you just missed an entire funny fucking segment.
What was your funny segment?
He does the juggling and it cuts to the bar. And Barney's like,
well, yeah, I was just getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Barney, he makes fun of Ted for the juggling.
Yes. Yeah. And I love Ted's response, though. What's the difference between juggling and magic? And Barney's like, how dare you? And like, he gets like legit, like, don't even like, no, that gets me really heated up. And he's like, and I love that everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Robin's got her hands over her cup and she's like, there's alcohol here.
Yeah.
And Wendy comes over and she's like, Barney, we talked about this.
Yes.
No fire in the bar. And he's like, but Ted provoked me. And I love how the whole gang is like, you're banished from the table for 5 minutes. Go. Yeah.
It's so hilarious. And all they could make me think of is the intervention.
Yes.
When he lights the banner on fire.
When he lights the banner on fire.
Because this is obviously something that really gets to them. Yeah, because what isn't that a flashback when they talk about that, right? Yeah, I bet you it is. I bet you it is right around this time. We'll have to keep an eye to see what year, if they tell us that when it goes back.
Fair enough.
I'm interested in that. But what I find interesting, right? So Barney's ragging on Ted for juggling. Yeah, there's at least two episodes that we see him juggling.
Oh, yeah.
He does it in the doppelganger. Yeah, the doppelganger episode. And then I know there's at least one other where he does it. So I'm curious if he's just saying it to make fun of Ted, or if at this stage in his you know life he does feel that way. He just hadn't discovered that he could use juggling for something. I don't know.
Why not both?
Yeah, maybe. Very well might be. Also, I learned that Josh Radnor had to learn to juggle for this episode, just for that little scene.
That is crazy.
Which apparently was a bit longer, because I mean, these episodes, they're almost when they film an episode, when they write and film these episodes, they're really almost twice as long usually, and then they get cut down. You know, they're like a 40-minute episode, and they got to cut them down to 22. You know, it's pretty crazy. And that's the thing, How I Met Your Mother, they've never released deleted scenes other than season 9's pineapple scene. But it's obvious there is tons of deleted stuff from this show.
Oh, yeah.
You could sell me a box set of just the deleted scenes and I'd buy that shit. I would love to see all that stuff, man.
Should you have that at Craig and Carter?
I might. But yeah, because like, for instance, something I didn't even mention because it was so small in the episode, Lily biting her nails. How she says she's going to stop biting her nails. And then throughout a couple of times throughout the episode, you see her with longer fingernails. Apparently, it was like a major storyline originally in the episode. And like it became this whole big thing. And she ends up like scratching her face because of it. It becomes this whole thing that almost all of it gets cut out.
Yeah.
And so like it, stuff like that, man, you get like a whole storyline that just gets completely deleted. Because you got to save time somewhere, you know, and it's somewhere. Not important. Yeah. So it's just, it's interesting. That's why I like The Office releases their super episodes.
Yeah.
Like they just dropped season 6 and it's the full cut, you know, of the episode. And there's a lot of fucking good extra stuff in the. The last time I did my Office rewatch, I did all 5 seasons of the Superfan episodes just watch the regular stuff. So when I go back to do it again, I'll go through and I'll watch season 6 with it too. So it'll be good stuff. All right. So we talked about, you know, him getting banished and all that stuff. Okay. Also in this scene, Ted mistakenly says he's got 4 sessions left when he's actually got 5. So there was a goof or a flub or whatever you want to call it. In error in it there, I caught, which I was like, because he had just finished session 5 and he's like, I got 4 left. It's like, no, you've got 5. And so he says he's got an angle, you know, he's working an angle, and we flash over to the office as Ted and Stella are coming out from the back room. Abby's on the phone and she's being yelled at, which we later on will find out who that is. And Stella tries telling her to just hang up the phone. You know, whenever, you know, I've told you this before, you know, if people are, you know, being mean, just hang up. And she's like, no, she's like shaking her head. Like, no, she can't do it.
I mean, she's such a sweetheart.
She is. And Stella says that she wishes that the patients would be nicer to her. And this is where Ted gets his big bright idea that his angle is to get in good with the receptionist.
Yep.
To which Barney assumes means he's going to bang her.
Bang the receptionist.
Yeah, man.
Not everybody can bang the doctor or the lawyer. Sometimes somebody has to bang the receptionist.
Somebody has to bang the receptionist, John. We then get, we go back to the office and we see Ted bringing Abby some coffee and something in a bag that we never actually learned what's in the bag.
I was assuming it was bagels.
Bagels, maybe a muffin, something. You know, but again, they never tell us. It's never mentioned.
No.
Like, even when Stella brings it back up later on, she only mentions the coffee. She never mentions any of the other stuff. And during session 7, Stella asks Ted out for Abby.
For Abby.
Ted thinks he's getting that Stella's asking him out, which I thought was hilarious. And then he's like sideswiped by the fact that it's actually Abby who she's asking him out for.
Yeah, but I like how this one playfully like goes too, because he's like,
yeah,
who's Abby?
Who's
my receptionist? Oh, I thought you said Alan.
Alan.
Who's Alan?
Who's Alan? I don't know. But you said who's Abby? Oh, I thought I said Alan.
I thought exactly.
Yeah.
Who's Abby? My receptionist.
Oh man. It was almost like a who's on first. For this. It was almost that. It was a fun little back and forth for them. But now Abby has this huge crush on Ted, and that's a thing that plays out throughout the rest of the episode and then into other episodes, as you had mentioned previously. So like it just becomes a thing. Then he comes up with another plan because he saw a book in her office called The Power of Me. It's a self-help book. And Marshall starts talking about, he's like, yeah, it's a great book. You know, it helped me with my memory. And he's like, oh, can I borrow yours? He's like, oh, I left it somewhere. I don't remember where.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's apparently it did not help you very much with your memory there, man. And so Ted, you know, he brings a copy of this book. He gets a copy of it. And he brings it into the office. And, you know, Abby's there and everything. And when Ted goes into, first off, he brings the book into the office and is reading it, okay? But he doesn't bring it into the procedure room. We find out that he threw it in the trash. Why did he even bother bringing it in?
Right.
You know, that didn't make sense to me because
even
he just...
Even worse, though. You're buying a book to dispose of it. But then you find out he put his sticker inside of it, property of the library at Ted Mosby.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it made no sense. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
It kind of, in a weird way, reminds me of the scene from Austin Powers in the first Austin Powers when he's checking out all his shit and they're like, name. He's like, it's Austin Danger Powers. And they're like, what? And he's like, Danger's my middle name. And then like they hit him with the penis bomb. He's like, that's not mine. And he's like, yeah. One book, sweet. Yeah. It's like everything that can add up to make this yours is, and Ted's like, yeah, that's not my book. Oh no, it's right here, Ted, from the, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Costella is not into that book at all.
No, she's like, it's a joke, and Ted's like, oh yeah, no. Agreed.
Yeah.
And then here's Abby.
Here's Abby, man, just trying to get her way into Ted's pants. That's all. That's all she's trying to do, man. We also learn in that scene, this is the first time we learn that Stella only gets essentially 2 minutes for lunch every day because how busy she is. And that plays in heavily, obviously.
Yes.
Toward the end of the episode. Because it comes up a couple of times because they're planting that seed into your head that, yep. Okay, she's only got 2 minutes.
Yeah, because like she comes in, she's like, oh man, 2 minute lunch. Which I love how it plays out in the ninth session. Because you know, Barney's telling Ted he has a secret that could help with Ted, but he's not sure Ted's ready for this. And Ted's like, I need to know what's the secret. And then Barney goes, I've used the bathroom, and gets up and walks away. And I'm like, what a dick move.
It was.
And he comes back and he goes,
I love it because that was a commercial break too. So like it was even they did it to the audience too. They made the audience late too.
Kermer comes back and he comes back and he sits down and he's like, so what's going on in your world? And Ted's like, the secret? And he's like, oh yeah, about that. And he tells Ted that Stella's attracted to certain men and she has it's not a phobia. It's
folliculophilia. I wrote it down.
That's it. And Ted's like, what is that? And Barney's like, she'll only date men with mustaches.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, you're not serious. But then he shows up and he's got like this like starter stash.
I even before that, he's like, Ted's like, this isn't real. And then Robin is like, I have a little bit. But the funny thing is, it's like, at first, I thought she was just doing it to fuck with him, like to go along with Barney. But when you go back and watch it, Barney looks at her like, what? Like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Like, she's legit serious about it.
Or
I have a little bit.
Maybe she's just fucking with him.
Maybe she's fucking with both of them at that point. You know,
but I love it because so then I love the Abby interaction too, where she's like, "You look like a young Tom Selleck," and then she's like Stella, Magnum's here to see you.
Magnum's here. Oh my god, that killed me. She's so funny in this episode, man. I can't get over it. She is so good. There are very few guest stars that I feel like hit on all cylinders the way she does in this.
Lovers, when you're done listening to this episode, I want you to go back all the way to the beginning of this episode, watch it straight from the beginning, but first, get yourself a bottle of liquor. And every time this crazy motherfucker says, she's so funny, take a shot. And then leave us a comment with how wasted are you?
Well, I mean, dude, she's so fucking funny. I'm gonna keep saying it, folks. Now that it's a drinking game, you're gonna get blasted because she's so funny.
Let's continue.
Like you said, he shows up to session 9 with the stash. And
dude, I love Stella's reaction when she walks in the room. Yeah. She's like, sorry, 2-minute lunch. And then she turns around and loses her shit.
Yeah, she does. Just completely loses it.
And then I love Ted's reaction where he's like, you made me waste an entire session on that. Why? And Ted's Barney's like, you don't remember why? I'll tell you why. And then they flash back to another time. Where Barney's like, I bet we could get Ted to grow a mustache. Or how do we get Ted to grow a mustache?
Yeah.
And Ted's like, I'll bet against that. And he pays him $10.
Yeah, he has to pay him $10. Yeah, he's been working on this for an entire year.
I mean, fucking well played.
Oh, yeah. It's reminiscent of the meatball, the exploding meatball sub thing.
Yeah.
Where he will plan revenge or like a prank of some sort.
See,
he doesn't care how long it takes.
And I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking this one shows how susceptible Ted is to stuff like this. Because think of the episode where Marshall and Lily are trying to have the baby and they get him to dye his hair blonde.
Oh yeah.
He does like the tips. Mm-hmm. And then they all realize that he actually kind of like looks okay, and they're like,
yeah,
oh wow, this actually worked for Ted.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just
he's a bit gullible. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, he's absolutely gullible.
He's an easy mark at times. And so Ted, you know, he's about to give up on everything, you know. That was session 9, and he's like ready to be done and just give up because he doesn't think he's got a shot. And then Lily spills the beans, telling him he can't give up because Stella likes him and she said so herself.
Yep.
And this is where we learn that Marshall was sent in there by Lily to see Stella and to essentially kind of nudge her toward Ted, without actually letting her know that that's what he's doing. And she says that he's got a crush on Ted. And this is where we also learned that the book was Marshall's book.
Yeah.
That was in the office. So
I also love, though, that she sees, like, the mole on the back of his neck, and she goes, oh, this doesn't look right. And Marshall's like, can you shut up about your stupid crutch? I'm dying!
I'm dying here, woman. Yeah, he gets so freaked out by it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's Marshall, though, man. Like, that's 100% him. You know, all the
way. I mean, you're not wrong. That is absolutely Marshall.
Yeah. So then, you know, he goes through the final session, and Ted asks her out. And she says, you know, she has a daughter, and she's so busy. And then she also mentions that she's only been to one party in the last year, and it was St. Patrick's Day. And when I was going through my research, I saw a lot of people theorize that obviously this is most likely she was at the same party, you know, because why would they bring that up?
You know,
like, why would they specifically mention that one episode after doing that episode?
Yeah.
I feel like they were telling us without telling us that she too was at that party, but she left early, she said. So we don't even know if they were there at the same time. You know what I mean? It's very possible that they weren't there at the same time.
That is a true statement.
Yeah. So I like the idea. I think about, like, Stella, the mother. They were all there at this party. Like, this party was like a fucking beacon, man. It was happening.
Well, with everything was going on at the time with the writer's strike, too, it could have been a possible way to plant seeds and have her be the mother.
Yeah, that's possible, too. Yeah, it's like, oh, she was there? Well, the mother was there. Could she be the mother? Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I think at this stage, they were still probably wanting to keep their options open a bit.
Probably.
Know? So you have...
Plus, I mean, by this point, they might not have known if they were being renewed for a fourth season yet.
Yeah, you never know. So, like, they had the girl who Ted bumps into. You know, you've got Stella. Could be either. You never know.
Victoria.
Yeah, it was. Like, I remember we talked about that, how they weren't sure if they were going to get picked up past the 13th episode. And they're like, well, if we don't get picked up, Victoria's the mother. You know, that's that's the plan. I always think about that. I'm like, that's how crazy it would be if this was a 13 episode show and Victoria was the mother and that's all we got. You know,
that'd be wild nuts. Stuff.
Yeah. Wild stuff to think about, sir. So back at the bar, Ted, he's feeling a bit dejected, you know, over this whole situation. Marshall is sitting there eating the Sloppy Joe shrimp cocktail and milkshake.
Chocolate milkshake, too.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny because, like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, he's actually got the stuff. And I was like, I couldn't remember what the sandwich was. So I had to go back and rewatch the beginning part. I was like, I think it's a Sloppy Joe, but I wasn't sure. So I had to go back and rewatch that part just so I could verify. See,
that's one of the things that every time I watch this episode, I always love that they threw that detail in there.
Yeah.
Because it's very rare that you ever see food on the table, but usually when there is food on the table, it's appetizers. It's something that's quick and easy. And this one is elaborate.
Usually
it's
Marshall. Fucking,
well, that too.
Yeah.
But this one is, it's an elaborate meal. It's a Sloppy Joe, which is something a bar typically wouldn't sell.
Yeah.
Shrimp and a milkshake.
Yeah. It's like the Platinum Rule one where he slaps the burger out of his fucking hand.
Yes. Yes.
I still can't get over that. But yeah. And so then Ted comes up with the perfect plan, John. The 2-minute date. Now, I gotta say, I was listening to the commentary, okay? And they think that Ted was a bit creepy here.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because they lived in the world and so they saw it a little differently after. But when they talk about it, it does kind of fall into the Dahmer Dobler thing.
Well, it does.
You know?
the way I saw it was, is that it is, I mean, you could absolutely Dahmer Dauber that. I see it, it's one of those few times where you see the genuine attempt from Ted to be like this very caring, this is that strategic planning down to a T, this is what he can do. And I caught something in this watching that I had never caught before. They stop at the little bistro. Did you notice who served them?
Yeah, it's Wendy.
It's Wendy.
And some other guy, but yeah, it's Wendy.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I was like, he got Wendy in on it.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, I love
Ranjit is there.
Yep, Ranjit, because we hadn't seen him in a bit. It's been a while.
No, it's been a while.
And I love this whole day. So, like, they come out of, she comes out of the office, he's there. And, you know, he convinces her to do this 2 minute. I love her comment. You know, the last time I had a 2 minute date, I wound up having a daughter.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about Tony.
I mean, it does. But at the same time, I love it because, like, like you said, this is very Dahmer Gobbler. And this is, it works in Ted's favor, obviously.
Yeah.
And this is just so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So it's at first good. They stop for they get in the cab.
Yeah.
And he tells Ranjit this address, and she's like, "But that's like right here." And then Ranjit stops, and they
literally
have,
like one building down. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's this little bistro, and Ted's like, "Oh, have you ever been here before?" She goes, "No, but I hear great things about it." And like they get like a bite of salad, and then like an egg parm.
I'm pretty sure Ted doesn't eat anything.
Nope, he doesn't.
It's just Stella.
It twice to make sure. Yeah. But that's funny, though, because he makes that comment.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "I had the water, and you had the eggplant parm."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, she has, like, a bite of salad and, like, one piece of the eggplant.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, and then...
And then doesn't even get to take a bite of the... Or, no, she does get a bite of the dessert.
Yeah. But first they go to the movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought
ends up being the one that Ted said sucked.
Yeah, Mono's Hand of Fate. But like, it was cut together, so it was only like 15 seconds long or something like that. I was like, that's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
This whole date, like everything he's doing, you can do all that stuff. But like, somebody had to take the time to cut that movie up.
Oh yeah.
And then he had to get it set up with that electronics store or whatever to be able to show it right on that TV and everything. Like, he put so much planning and effort into this. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why when we get to the Wedding Bride episode, when they make fun of Ted for the 2 minute date, I'm like, first off, I don't give a shit if it was Tony who makes the joke to put into the script or he's jealous of Ted for having such an amazing date put together, but either him and Stella are trash for dissing on him for that 2 minute date because they turn it into like the
Tony's absolute trash because of it. Yeah. Stella's trash because either she actively allowed him to do it or she just didn't bother to try to stop him from doing it.
True. Because this is one of the most romantic gestures I've ever seen. And if I could ever try to pull something off to this magnitude, I would.
It's like the 2 minute date and the super date. Ted knows how to do it, man.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to do it.
He does.
Yeah. Like, and then she gets hands her like a doggy bag. I'm assuming probably the eggplant part of it, at least. But I thought that was kind of cool. And then the flowers, but she's allergic to them. The flowers come into play.
Momentarily, too.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I love that he's like, oh, okay, we're learning about each other. Yeah. And like, he's like, but you notice, though, he never puts the flowers down. She's allergic to them, but let's fucking carry them.
Well, I don't think it's the kind of allergy that it's like she's going to break out and hide. It's probably like, I can't like be sniffing them and stuff. So like, I don't think it's a big deal for him to hold them near her like that. She's impressed by this and she winds up kissing him, you know.
Kisses
she decides him. To be a little late. During the commentary, they specifically tell you guys that the date was actually 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Like from from when he starts it, when he clocks it on the watch, to when he clocks it done on the watch is apparently 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Not 2 minutes.
That's not bad, though.
Yeah. It's still pretty damn good, man. I guess maybe they shouldn't have taken that leisurely walk.
Always get a cab, New York, man.
I'm curious how the fuck did Ranjit turn around that fast?
You're not supposed to think about that, sir.
I know. My other thought is, how would he have turned around to go back to the bistro the other way?
Probably would have just went in reverse.
And that's what I was wondering. I was like, would he have just like literally backed it up in reverse? I don't know.
Maybe that's why they purposely have them do the walk.
Maybe. Yeah. It's probably logistically, it's probably why they wrote it that way. But yeah, I don't know. I love the 2 minute day. It's just, I don't think I could ever pull that off, but you know what? Rock on, Ted.
This is one of the few times where I'm like, Ted Mosby is he's a real class act. Yeah. Like he deserves this one. And then I love that he's even like, you know, I understand that you're super busy with shit right now. Like your work schedule, your kid, this and that.
Yeah.
I'll be here when you get time. Mm-hmm. I hope you have time. And she's like, I'm sure I will.
That's your Stella impression.
Yeah.
So then she goes back in the into the office, and who walks up? But Britney Spears, Abby, and bitch, she is funny.
Dude, she chases Ted down. She's like, my friends said that was crazy.
Yeah, my friend said I shouldn't give you another chance, that you weren't worth it. And she just bolts at it. He's like, no, and just takes off.
Takes off hard.
Oh, yeah. And then the episode ends with Barney seducing Abby, who agrees to go out with him, go on a shopping spree. But first, they're going to stop by his hotel to make sure his bed got fixed, and they're going to have sex. She is the one who offers that.
Yeah. And I love, though, that she's the one who's like, let's have sex. And he's like, I like you.
Before we go shopping, can we have sex on it? He's like, I like you. And, folks, that was season 3, episode 13, 10 sessions. John, any other thoughts on the episode?
Stella's a whore.
She's a something. And Britney Spears, she is funny. Now drink up, folks.
Drink.
All right. So with that out of the way, we've got one final part of this episode, and that is Barney's blog.
Suit up, bitches!
That's right. All right. So the blog for this week is titled 8.3 Seconds. That's all you've got to make a first impression.
Okay.
And this was dated March 24th of 2008. And it says, every day I get thousands upon millions of electronic mails asking how to pick up women. The truth of the matter, however unnatural and fundamentally opposed to everything you've ever learned about the opposite sex, is that a woman actually picks you. Worse yet, women are shamefully superficial. A woman will judge a man on his appearance alone, regardless of how big her rack is. And just how long after first sight does it take for a woman to decide if she'd sleep with a guy? Try 8.3 seconds. That's 1.7 seconds faster than your typical rocket launch. Astonishing. Oh, sure. And the 8.3 seconds has a little asterisk there, and it says average time elapsed based on a BS university study in which a cohort of attractive 18 to 22 year old females were exposed to pictures of random males and asked whether they would sleep with them. To legitimize the study, subjects were also shown a control picture of the lead researcher in a sharp suit and asked the same question. And so then it goes on. It says, without the verbal acumen, God-given physique, or the fashion literacy that allow me to ensnare a woman upon first glance, most men don't stand a chance against the clock. Fortunately for you, I like to be ready for nightmare contingencies, such as laryngitis, or heaven forbid, the sudden appearance of a zit. Therefore, I started a list of a few easy-to-follow costume ensembles that allow virtually any man to make a first impression strong enough to defeat a woman's 8.3-second barrier. Ooh. And so he's got a little list here of first impression costumes. All right. So the first one is mercenary. Walk into a bar wearing a gun, a knife, and or a grenade. Toys preferred. And a woman's first thought will be, now here's a man who can protect me. Followed quickly with her second thought, I'd like to engage in sexual relations with this heavily armed man. I don't think that's going to be super accurate, unless you're in, like, Texas, maybe. the next one is veterinarian. A smock covered in dog hair will instantly convince any woman to sleep with you. Why? Because there's nothing sexier to a woman than a man who actively sought an education in the early detection of feline diabetes and other animal maladies.
Fair.
Then we've got rock and roll drummer. Carry a pair of drumsticks and wear a denim vest emblazoned with a patch of your favorite band. Nobody knows what the drummer looks like. Note, avoid the Def Leppard patch unless you plan on being uncomfortable all night. I thought you would appreciate that one the most, because you definitely used to rock that kind of an outfit and carry drumsticks around for, there was a time period where that was a thing. So, yeah. I thought
wow, we just that fucking one. Call me out right here on the podcast.
That's right, folks. This guy thought he was a drummer.
I mean, I wasn't a bad drummer.
It's true. It's true. All right, the next one I love. LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James. That's literally all it says. Did you know that that's what it stood for, by the way?
No.
Yeah. That's what the LL and LL Cool James. It's Ladies Love Cool James.
Wow.
Yep.
I did not know that his name was James.
Yeah, now you know.
Well, that's knowing is half a battle. Yo, Joe.
we have three left. The next one is Artist. It says, toss a beret on your melon and carry around a paintbrush, and suddenly you're the sensitive guy. Which gives a woman the perverse pleasure of believing she might actually make you cry. Then we got hairstylist. Throw on a t-shirt two sizes too small for you, grab a hairdryer and an issue of Cosmo, and when you walk into a bar, every woman will want to be with you. And the last one is escaped convict. Leg irons and a black and white striped jumpsuit. Women love jewelry, a pinstripe suit in danger. Combine all three and you'll make her sing sing for the next 10 to 25 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. so there was a couple of notes in this one, because sometimes they'll do like little notes and whatnot for it. Obviously, it says, you know, Barney once again referencing 83 with the 8.3 thing. And then using costumes to seduce women is a large part of Barney's personality, which it is. And we see that a lot throughout the series. It says it was first seen in Slutty Pumpkin, where he brought a second Halloween costume to the party so he could have a second chance to make a good impression, yep. Which fails. And using different costume-based schemes is a big, big part of the playbook as well.
Really big part of the playbook.
Yeah, so I like that. That was Barney's blog for this week, folks. Let us know at Last Call HIMYM. Have you ever used a costume to pick up whether you're a man or a woman? Have you ever used a costume to pick up a sexual partner? Let us know. I'm interested. Yeah, John, have you ever? Have you used a costume?
It wasn't a costume, but if you remember correctly, when I was when. I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble for saying this one on the podcast. Do you remember when I was going through firefighting training and I walked through Walmart for like 2 hours in my bunker pants and I was like, John Maid, firefighter. Firefighter. Yep.
Hey, man, I think that counts. Absolutely.
Wasn't so much a costume, but it was part of who I was.
Yeah, no, it absolutely counts, though. Absolutely. But yeah, so that, again, was Barney's blog. And this was season 3, episode 1310, Sessions. I think that's about it for you know, all of that stuff. So, John, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
I am still on Twitter, simply saying J1. I have a podcast. I have a blog. You should be checking them out if you aren't already. I would greatly appreciate some feedbacks. I love my fans. I love our fans. And it's always great to have the overlap, interlap.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I love it when random fans just kind of reach out and want to connect. I love it. It's fantastic. And you can reach me on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc with a Movie Blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, you are watching it on the Merc with a Movie Blog YouTube channel. So if you like what you're watching, please hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and click that little bell, wherever that motherfucker is. If you're listening on any of the audios, you can go over to anchor.fm/lastcallhimym, and you can leave us a voice message over there. We'd love to hear your stories, your thoughts, your comments, your concerns, even maybe. Just don't be a dickhead about it, okay?
Yeah.
You know, be nice, and we will play it on air, and we'll discuss whatever you want to talk about. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you really like what you're listening to and you want to leave us a 5-star review, we will read that out on air as well. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Last Call, HIMYM, you know, for all the awesome How I Met Your Mother and How I Met Your Father needs. Be sure you're checking out the How I Met Your Father version as well of this podcast. Last Call Pembertons, we've been calling it. It's been good stuff. You know, we're about 3 episodes in at this point. And so be sure to check it out, guys. It's good stuff.
It's been a good season. Episode coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think by the time this airs, it'll be 4 episodes out. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, be sure to check it all out, guys. You know, it's good stuff. And let us know your thoughts again at Last Call HIMYM on Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's all I've got for him, man. What do you got for him?
You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
Catch you next time.